And that is a nation that truly has no clue. They don't know what they're doing.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by the... So you know the thing.
Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome to another installment of the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week, as always, wearing the tinfoil hat. I am your host. My name is Tom Velasquez. Again, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule and joining me this week. So I hope everybody last week enjoyed the show. Last week's show was a complete spur of the moment, right in the middle of the show. Jay Miles ended up calling, and it just turned into, as I put in the description of the show, two friends just sitting and talking. And I recorded it, and by the response of the show, the numbers it pulled, the number of likes on the show, and the number of likes the Paranormal Patriot gathered from that, it was a pretty well-received show. And I would love to do more of that. So, you know, I'm going to eventually turn this into a call-in show, but I need your guys' support on that. So it was a great time last week doing the show. It went way longer than I anticipated, but, you know, that's what happens when Jay and I get talking. But there were a lot of things that I didn't get to that I wanted to, and some of them I'm going to talk about this week. Some of them I'm just going to let go, because this week it's been pretty substantial, the amount of emails and messages that I've received that said, hey, Tom, okay, we've had a lot of politics going on during the show, which most people understood why, but they do want to hear the paranormal aspect of the show. And I want to get back into the paranormal aspect of the show. This week in the news, I'm not going to say it was light. I mean, I could talk for days about the idiocracy and the just insane ineptitude of this administration and this Democrat Party, but we're going to talk about it, don't worry, but we're going to talk about other things. We're going to talk about the sun. You know, we've had some crazy weather the last year, and there are signs that the sun is waking up and waking up pretty angry. I want to go into that because there's some things that can affect us, multiple things that can affect us by the way the sun's acting. And then I want to get into the O'Hare, Chicago, the Chicago O'Hare Airport audio of the UFO sighting, and I believe it was 2006, 2007. I can't remember off the top of my head right now, but this UFO sighting at O'Hare Airport was one of the most, I guess you could call it the most persuasive UFO sightings in terms of it convinced a lot of people. I have the audio from the ground crew that, you know, some people are seeing things, some people are making light of it, which is what usually happens during UFO sighting. I wanted to talk to you about that one because that is one of my more compelling UFO sightings. That one I really get into because it's so persuasive. It's so real, I guess would be the best way to say it. But of course, we're going to start the show with politics, because again, I understand paranormal wise you want to hear paranormal, but I had a new listener to the show say, hey, why are you even putting paranormal in your name when all you talk about is politics? And I get that, I really do. This show was built on the paranormal, and it's just kind of merged and conglomerated and evolved into a paranormal political show. Well, lately, it has all been political, and as I told this person, I've mentioned to you people before, it is because what is going on around the planet in this country specifically, it's too important not to talk about. I have got to get the word out of what is going on out there. There are a lot of people. Listen, because this is a paranormal show, I do have a contingent of my audience that are Democrats. And if I can get through to some of them and just convince them that you're a little bit wrong in your thinking, not all wrong. You know, I don't dissuade you. I don't disparage you for being wrong. Everybody makes mistakes. But if I can convince some of these people that, wait a minute, this is not how it's supposed to work. This is wrong, then I'm doing my job, because we need as many people as we can get to take this country back, because we are right on the precipice of losing this country if we haven't already. And I don't take that lightly. I don't say that lightly, because I've said it numerous times in the past. You know, we are right on the precipice of losing this country. I'm at the point now where we may have lost it. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But I know there is an agenda that the Democrats are just pounding through to everybody. And they, at this point, don't even care if we don't like it. It's going through. The Biden administration, Joe Biden and Joe Biden's speakers and handlers and his administration in general has said, you know, I don't even know if this mandate's legal, but it's going through. So that begs to me to ask a question. If you know, or you even question, whether these vaccine mandates are legal, constitutional, A, why would you just nilly-willy go through with it? But more importantly, is he not disavowing the oath of office he took? Because part of that oath is, I will uphold the Constitution. So when this man has a press conference and his handlers tell him to say, well, we don't even know if it's legal, which in another word is constitutional. We don't even know if it's legal, but we're just going to go ahead and do it anyway. They are purposely and knowingly pushing the Constitution aside and purposely going against the vows of the office that he took. Now, if that's not an impeachable offense, and I mean, trust me, there is handfuls of impeachable offenses that Joe Biden has already incurred. If that's not an impeachable offense, I don't know what is. And again, if Donald Trump was in office and he did this, we aren't even talking about the Afghanistan fiasco. We aren't even talking about the southern border. We're not even talking about his handling of the vaccine mandates and his handling of the COVID crisis. We're not even going to put that into the equation. If he went out and said something to the effect is, I don't know if this is legal or not, but I'm going to do it, the Democrats would have had him impeached before he could leave the room. But our Republican, quote-unquote, friends, they just sit there and you'll have one or two draw papers of impeachment and it doesn't go anywhere. Because the Republicans and the majority of the Republicans in Washington right now have no spine, they have no backbone. They are bought and they are paid for. They don't want to ruin that lifestyle. And they know that when election time comes, it's to the point now where they're not even voted in. They're just installed. The more I see, and I get every election has some fraud in it. I get that. There's not a clean election. Probably never was one. But the more I see, and the more of these leaks I'm hearing about Maricopa County in Arizona, what happened, what they're finding in Michigan, what they found in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, this was a rigged election. This election was stolen. And I am getting to the point where I believe that all of these leaders in Washington, they're not voted in. They're just chosen. You know, I'll use Gary Peters in Michigan as an example. John James should be our senator. He somehow lost after being up 100,000, or well, actually, I think it was almost 200,000 votes in the state of Michigan at 10 o'clock. He essentially did not get a vote, or it essentially, I think I read an article, it was 5-1 Gary Peters after 10 o'clock till 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, somebody said Gary Peters needs to be in there and let's make it happen. And I get it happens all the time. And, you know, as I said before, we think we in America are this high and mighty country that needs to go save everybody else. But we've got our own selves to save. You know, our government will sit there and they will decry elections in other countries about how fraudulent they are and how just absolutely bogus and fake and fraudulent these other countries' elections are. Well, to me, that's the pot calling the kettle black. I mean, honestly, we do not have a good history. You look at Fulton County, Georgia. You look at Miami-Dade. You look at Wayne County in Detroit. I mean, there is a long history. Chicago, New York, there is a long, long history of really illicit and very questionable voter practices there. Or you could look at the whole state of California, because that whole state is a joke with their voter, with their voting procedures. I mean, to go and ballot harvest at third world countries, Arab countries, Muslim terrorist run countries, third world countries that, you know, are just living in shacks and huts that are nothing like the United States of America. They don't allow ballot harvesting for the simple reason that it's so easy for fraud. But yet, California is no big deal. I mean, California is really its own little communist country right now. And say what you want about the recall election of Gavin Newsom. Everybody knows it was faked. Now, he probably would have gone through not being recalled. I get that. But how many of you listening to the radio or watching the news that day saw the video and heard the audio of the lady that went to go vote, and the lady's like, "You already voted." She's like, "The hell I did." "No, ma'am, you already voted." As she's listening to the guy next to her have the same conversation with another lady. "I didn't vote already. This is the first time I was here." So as they're walking out, they're hearing of other stories of people voting, and they seem to be all Republican. That's all conjecture and purely speculation. But it's going to happen. They didn't need to cheat, I don't think. But they did. They did, and we know they did. And they're going to do it in 2022. And everybody keeps telling me, "Tom, we're just hang out. Let's just get to 2022. We're just going to sweep the House and the Senate." And I just look at them and I'm like, "Did you not see what happened in 2020? Did you not learn anything? Go back and listen to my political shows leading up to the election. My main theme, and I would say it four or five times a show, was I do not underestimate the Democrats' ability to cheat." And lo and behold, my statement came 100% true. And it continued to become 100% true on this California recall. I mean, it's going to happen. And I'm sure that there's Republican places that have a little bit of inaccuracies. Nothing to the amount of Democrat-run areas. I mean, look at every Democrat-run area. It has been a long time, for the most part, Democrat-run area. Baltimore, New York City, Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco, San Diego, San Jose. I mean, just the list keeps going. They're predominantly run by Democrats because no Republican can get in there. Even though the people know, and if you don't, you're an idiot, but the people realize what's going on. "We've been run by Democrats for 65 years. My city is a shithole. It's time for a change." The Democrats are fully entrenched in there. And again, this is part of the problem with this voting thing that we do, is people are not knowledgeable. They just see a name, somewhat recognize a name, and, "Yeah, okay, I'll do it." Or, like on our school board, we have no idea who these people are and what they stand for, so we're just checking off names. No idea who we are electing to the school boards, and can't understand why critical race theory is on the docket. It's going to go through. Our children are going to be taught critical race theory, or the 1619 Project, or why the school board is completely disregarding the hundreds of parents that show up at these board meetings telling them, "I do not want to send my kid to school with a mask." Well, these people are not representing you because they have no intention of representing you. They are going to do what they want to do. And again, it's just like our representatives in Washington and your state capital or wherever you live. You vote these people in as representatives for you. When is the last time you have seen one of your senators or one of your representatives come back to their home state, sit down with its citizens and say, "All right, this is what I have to vote on. I'm going to tell you what it is. Tell me how you want me to vote." It doesn't happen. We have no representation in your state capitals, your country capitals, your province capitals, your district capitals, or your state capitals, or your nation's capital. We have no representation anymore. And some people will say, Tom, well, if you voted in a Republican and you're a Republican, you have representation. No, that's not true. Because there's a lot of times the person I voted for voted against what I wanted, and I had no say in it, nor did anybody else in that person's district. They don't come back and get the constituent's voice. The voice they're hearing is their party's leader, in this case on the Democrat side, Nancy Pelosi, threatening them. Who knows what Nancy Pelosi does, but she must be very, very persuasive. But all they hear are lobbyists. Hey, you vote this way, and here's a big chunk of change for you. Or, hey, I've got this house in the Hamptons that you'd look great in. Your family would love it right on the water. It can be yours. I can sign it right over to you if you vote this way and get this thing passed. That is what our constituents are all about right now. Our representatives are all about. We as constituents mean nothing to them because we can't give them that stuff. Because we now have career politicians that spend 50, 60, sometimes 70 years in office. That is not, that job, those jobs were never meant to be the careers. They were meant to be, okay, fill in, come to Washington or come to the Capitol whenever whenever we need you. Go back to doing what you were doing before. Most of them were farmers or shopkeepers. And vote as your constituents want you to vote. That's how it's supposed to work. Somewhere along the line, we lost that. But that's nothing new. It's been that way since I've been born, and it's been that way since a lot of my other listeners have been born a lot longer than I've been alive. I don't see it changing anytime soon. But with that being said, I think it's next month, the debt ceiling. I mean, we're basically, the government is going to shut down if we don't vote to increase the debt ceiling. The Republicans have said we're not going to increase it. As far as I'm concerned right now, the country would be given a great bit of luck if our government shut down. I understand. I get it. And before you start sending me the hate mail, I understand Social Security checks, disability checks, and other checks that people rely on may be slowed. Don't shut that office down. I mean, trust me, there will still be enough money. I don't need the IRS. I don't need Congress, the House of Representatives. They don't get anything done anyway. Why do we need to continue to keep paying them to just bicker back and forth? It makes no sense to me. Shut the government down. We're never going to pay back the debt, but at least we can, I think we would all be in a better place if the government just was shut down and stayed out of our life for a little bit. So, with that being said, vaccine mandates. I mean, this is getting a little bit out of control. Honestly, here's my question, and one of my good friends brought this question to me, and I was thinking about it. I'll be honest with you. I was actually going to say it this week on the show, but she beat me to the punch. But vaccine mandate. Who is responsible and who is liable if we are mandated to get that vaccine, we get that shot, and we have an adverse side effect, God forbid we die, who is liable for that? I mean, who is responsible for that? You know the federal government is not going to hold themselves accountable for that. So these businesses that are mandating, that are going to follow this ridiculous unconstitutional mandate, these businesses better be prepared, because I guarantee you one of those 100 or we'll say 20, 25, one of those 30 employees that get the shot, if you've got 100 employees. If you have more employees, the risk goes up higher. But at least one of those 30 is going to have an adverse reaction, a side effect, or God forbid they die. Those businesses had better be prepared for lawsuits and legal liability. You can't go after the vaccine manufacturers. That was my first red flag on this vaccine, by the way, is when it was when I found out that there is no responsibility for any ill effects of this vaccine that Pfizer, Moderna, or Johnson & Johnson they don't get any. They can't be sued. They can't be taken to court. That was my first red flag. Okay, so they have no idea what this thing is going to do. But yet we are being told to take it. Not for me. It's just gone downhill from there. The federal government isn't going to take over. They're not going to take responsibility because they're the federal government. I mean, if this administration has taught you anything, it's that they don't have any responsibility in anything unless it makes them look good. Afghanistan, not their fault at all. It was their plan. They decided to do it that way. Nope, not my fault, not at all. Somebody's got to be held accountable for this. And it's going to be these businesses. And I think a lot of these businesses, once they see that, man, we could be sued, and we could be sued heavily for this if something happens, they're going to join these lawsuits. And if you live in a Democrat-controlled state, I'm sorry, because your Democrat governor is going to be all on board. In my state, I've got a Democrat governor, the illustrious Gretchen Whitmer. She's all on board. Yeah, you need to get vaccinated. Well, thank God I don't work for a company with 100 employees, so this mandate can bite my ass. But I know a lot of people that are going to have to take this or subject themselves to a brain scan or a brain swab every week, at least once a week, or lose their job. I got an email this week from a JC. We'll just call him Jim. He says, "Hey, my name is Jim, and I've been working for UPS for the past 15 years. With Biden recently passing the vaccine mandate, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. Quitting my job is not an option. I've been here far too long. My company hasn't mentioned anything yet about having to get the vaccine, but I'm assuming it's only a matter of time. I already had COVID and got over it quickly. Crazy times we're living in. We have never seen anything like this before. Take care." Jim, thanks for the letter, email, and I don't envy you at all. In that you and thousands, if not millions of other people are in that same boat. What do you do? That's a hard decision. 15 years at UPS. UPS is a great company to work for. They pay well. They have great benefits. You can't throw that away. Literally, we have to bank on these companies, and Dr. Pepper in Texas has already said, we're not going to follow it. Whether or not you get vaccinated is your choice. We need companies to start doing that, and OSHA's going to come in, and they're going to fine them, and they're going to have to go to court and, you know, fight these. It's not, there's no way this can be legal. None. But Jim made a good point. He's already had COVID. How many of my listeners have had COVID and therefore have natural immunity? I just saw an article that stated, look, if you've had COVID, you don't need the vaccine for at least 12 months. Personally, I still don't think that's 100% correct. Again, I believe this is going to be like the flu. You're going to run a chance of getting it every year or every other year or every third year. You're going to get it. You're going to get it more than once. It's just going to happen. It doesn't mean we have to be vaccinated. I mean, how many of you have gotten the flu shot? Sometimes you get the flu, sometimes you don't, right? How many times have you had to get a flu shot booster? This virus is essentially no deadlier than the flu. I know people that have died of the flu. I know people that have died of COVID. I know people that have got the flu shot and got very, very, very sick with the flu. I know people that have got the COVID vaccine and died from COVID. And that's the strange part. I don't know anybody that's got the flu shot that has died of the flu after that. I know two people that received the COVID vaccine, one shot or two shots, depending on what you get, and they died from COVID. Now, you're not going to hear about that in the news. They're going to completely fudge the numbers to make it look like, oh, the unvaccinated. In every story you read, the unvaccinated are causing a surge in the hospital, in the hospital ICU units. There's no beds because of the unvaccinated. Again, we are being targeted. And it's working because people hate us. The vaccinated hate the unvaccinated. They tell us all the time, you're putting me at risk. As a vaccinated person, you being unvaccinated, you're putting me at risk. And listen to that statement again, please. As a vaccinated person, you're putting me at risk by being unvaccinated. So if you are vaccinated against the measles and I'm not, why would you be worried about me giving you measles? If you are vaccinated against the COVID virus, why would you worry if I am unvaccinated? And to be honest with you, again, studies are starting to come out that show that the people that have had COVID and beat it have a better chance of resisting getting COVID again or getting COVID originally because of your natural immunity against those even that are vaccinated. We keep hearing how we have to get vaccinated to make everybody safe. Sorry, I don't buy it. First off, these vaccines, we don't know if they're safe or not. There's a lot of people that would say, and a lot of families that would say, no, they're not safe. My son, daughter, father, brother, mother, sister, father, whatever, they have lasting side effects or they died from the vaccine. So we don't know. The original SARS vaccine, I think it was 2005. Five people, I believe, died from that vaccine. They pulled it from the shelf. They stopped it. It's not safe. This COVID vaccine has killed thousands and hurt and given hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands, we'll just go tens of thousands, of people with long-lasting, sometimes permanent side effects. And it's deemed safe. How does this work? What changed? Again, what is the end game? Why is it so important to get this vaccine? Nobody can answer that. Well, it's to keep everybody safe, Tom. If you're gonna follow science and facts, with those that are vaccinated are continuing to pump at us science, Tom. Science, facts, follow them. It only works for them when it benefits them. I'm smart enough and I am open enough to realize that there are two sides to every story. And one of the people I work with made a great point. We get too much information nowadays because you can go look at any subject you want and you will have somebody that says it's good for you. And you'll have somebody that says it's bad for you. Depending on what side of the aisle and what side of the theory you reside on, that's what one you're going to take. But the science is starting to prove the vaccinated wrong and they don't like it because the media keeps pounding into them. Vaccine's the only way to get back to normal. Vaccine's the only way to stay safe. Tell that to the people that got the vaccine and died. Tell that to the people that got the vaccine because they wanted to go back to normal, wanted to go out in public and not wear a mask and now have to. You've been duped. This is science. Everybody says, well, science is fact. Science is more proven. How many times have we gone and said, oh, this changes everything we know? This changes everything we know about such and such, about human history, about the way the cosmos were formed, about how the earth was formed. Science. Science is never right completely because we as a species, as a human race, we think we are so knowledgeable. We think we know everything. We are a young species. We don't know squat. That's why you're constantly seeing science change. Constantly. But we are told to follow the science. Well, look at the COVID. Look at this whole COVID pandemic. How many times did the science change in just a year? It's constantly changing. The CDC and Anthony Fauci have flip-flopped like they're a fish out of water. Wear a mask. Don't wear a mask. Wear a mask. Don't wear a mask. Wear two masks. Wear three masks. Social distance. Don't social distance. Get a vaccine. You'll be safe. You're not going to be safe if you get a vaccine. Nobody knows. And that goes for me, too. I don't know. This vaccine could be the safest thing ever to come out. But nobody knew how to make a coronavirus vaccine that worked. And all of a sudden, in the matter of 8 to 10 months, it's there and it's safe and it's effective? No, it's not. Sorry, that's not how science works. Science is constantly changing because as we as humans are constantly learning. Even our most learned members of our species are constantly learning. We think we know everything. We like to think we know everything, but trust me, we don't know squat. And it constantly changes. So when you tell me to follow the science because the science is correct, I laugh. Because science is constantly changing, constantly. I mean, make a concerted effort from this point. Whenever you go onto your news site or go and browse social media or listen to the news, over the course of the next couple months, I want you to look for something. Look for an article, listen to the reporters say these words. This changes our thinking of blah. It constantly happens. Constantly. And it's because we don't know everything. So don't tell me to follow the science because it's wrong. It's always going to be wrong until we know everything. Okay, lastly on this subject, General Milley needs to be removed from his position. He needs to be brought in front of Congress, tried on a military tribunal for treason, and as far as I'm concerned, hung by his neck. I said it. If you or I did what he did, we would be dead by now. This man, and Nancy Pelosi, is complicit in this as well. She is knee-deep in this, neck-deep in this. After the election, they decided Trump is becoming unhinged. They were worried that he was going to start a war with China. He was going to start a war with Russia, Iran. I don't know where they got that premise from because nothing that I saw, nothing that his advisors saw would make them think that he was going to start a war with anybody. He was pissed because of the outcome of the election, but rightfully so. The election was stolen from him. He knew it. And he was pissed. He wanted retribution. I get it. I'd be pissed too. But he never made any inklings of war. But Milley got all the head brass in the military together and said, listen, you don't do anything that he says without my approval. You owe your loyalty to me now. That is a coup. That is a military coup. He had every one of those people in that meeting swear their allegiance to him. And then calls China and starts talking to China about Trump and what he's doing and what's going to happen after Trump leaves. How is that not treason? I mean, I guess you have to look at it this way. Do you consider China our enemy? I think you'd be crazy to not. I don't have anything against the Chinese people at all. Just like I don't have anything against the Afghan, the Iraqi, the Russian people. I don't have anything against the people of any country. I have a problem with the governments of these countries. That's what I have a problem with. So do you look at the government of China as our enemy? If you do, you can come to no conclusion that Pelosi and Milley committed treason. They usurped the power of an existing sitting president, denied him the nuke codes, essentially, because even if he wanted to nuke somebody, they weren't going to let him do it. But we'll let Joe Biden have the nuke codes all day, every day, right? Is that how it works? If they were that concerned about the mental health and the mental stability of our president at the time, you have every right to invoke the 25th Amendment. They tried to, couldn't do it. So what did they do? They went behind his back. It's treason, everybody. Just like Dr. Fauci lying to Congress, he got caught. And I mentioned, I called that. Go back and listen to the show. I called that. It is coming out that his emails are going to show that he invested in the gain-of-function research in Wuhan. He completely lied to Rand Paul about that. A congressman in front of Congress, under oath. Nothing happened. Nothing will happen. We still see this idiot on TV, and everybody thinks he's the savior. Oh, well, Dr. Fauci said this. What is it going to take for people to realize this guy committed treason? He helped fund a virus that, if you're afraid of COVID, he completely changed the world, and not in a good way. This man should be, I mean, Leavenworth is too good for him right now. I mean, literally, I can't say it, you know. As of now, YouTube is starting to ban my shows on their YouTube, on YouTube. You know, I'm not a big YouTube guy. I don't promote it, but I get notices. I got notices on 6 of my latest shows that they, you know, one more and I'm going to be banned for a certain amount of time because of hate speech and misinformation about COVID. Okay. I would love to know who's determining what is hate speech and what is misinformation, because I'm not giving you anything that you can't find on the news. Sometimes you got to dig for it. That's where I come in. I'll give you some of the news that you can't hear or you that's hard to find, and I'll give you personal stories. But hate speech? I don't hate anybody. Well, I can't say that. I hate Dr. Fauci and Joe Biden and the Democrat Party, Pelosi, Schiff, Schumer, John Kerry. Oh, I really, really can't stand Blinken. I mean, Joe Biden. I mean, let's talk Joe Biden. The country hates her husband now, right? The majority of people, Biden's poll numbers are just tanked. I mean, he is in bad shape. And, you know, she's just putting him out there. Come on, Joe, get out there and talk to the people. We'll tell you what to say. I mean, this lady has nothing but her own best interests in mind now. Oh, I got on the cover of Vogue. Oh, I'm going to go on the cover of Glamour or whatever freaking Cosmo or whatever magazines she's been on. This is a joyride for her, and she's running with it. Meanwhile, her husband is mentally, and let's be honest, look at him, look at how he's walking around, look at him, he's frail. Physically, he's failing, and she doesn't care. Not a care in the world, because I'm the first lady now. I'm getting attention. You know, I have no respect for that woman at all. None whatsoever. Okay, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to give you some news on the sun, and we're going to listen to some audio from the UFO sighting at Chicago O'Hare Airport. You're listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back.
The stuff of nightmares.
Hey everybody, this is Rick Ness, host of the Stuff of Nightmares podcast. Ever since I was a child, I was fascinated by stories of the paranormal and the unknown. Reading about encounters with Bigfoot, the Jersey Devil, UFOs, or even living in a house where spirits roam intrigued me. As an adult, reading true crime stories and watching true crime documentaries made me realize that monsters don't just live in your closet or under your bed. Monsters might just live next door. Come with me on a journey to the unknown and the unthinkable, where the things that people do to each other are just as frightening as the things we can't explain. Every episode, I will delve into the world of the paranormal and lesser-known heinous true crimes. Each story of the unknown will be true first-hand accounts told by the person that had the experience or submitted to me to be read for them. You can listen to the Stuff of Nightmares podcast on the website at www.thestuffofnightmarespodcast.show, your favorite podcast app, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody. We'll just use this past summer. Well, we're going to go back a little. We'll go this past year. The weather around the country, and especially in this country that we live in the United States, has been just crazy. I mean, look at, I think it was January, February, look at Texas. They were frozen. I mean, people died because it got so cold. Things were frozen. The turbines couldn't move. They couldn't generate power because everything was so cold, the snow, the ice. This summer where I live in Michigan, it's been crazy. Every spring since I can remember, it's just been, it rains, just enough so the farmers can get out in their fields and plant their crops. Well, this spring, it kind of rained, didn't rain. June is great. July, August, it is dry as a bone and hot. And July and August this year, it was warm, I'll give you that. Actually, really warm, one of the warmer summers I can remember. But it rained. It rained a lot. Usually in July and August, I cut my grass maybe 3 times in 2 months. Because it's brown, it doesn't grow. I'm too lazy to water my grass, and I don't want to waste the water. But this year, I've been cutting my grass all summer long. It's been, well, my kids have, but it's been weird. And just this past month, I mean, storms, and I mean, huge egg-sized hail, 2-inch, 3-inch hail. Joe Biden says it's not tornadoes anymore. I think a good friend of mine, Michelle, said they're derechos. I don't think Joe Biden knows what a derecho is, but we can't call them tornadoes anymore. We don't call them that. But those spinny things that happen in storms and hurricanes that really do a lot of damage and have a lot of wind and are spinny, those things are all over the place. Look at Harvey down in Louisiana. He's getting drilled left and right with hurricanes. I feel so bad for that guy. Every time I turn and look, there's a hurricane coming to Louisiana. It wasn't supposed to come to Louisiana, but here it comes. I mean, the weather is going crazy. And people are going, oh, look at the climate change. Look at the climate change. Climate may be changing. I will give you that. Joe Biden just recently said, I hope we can, well, let's play the clip here for you real quick. You want to hear that clip from Joe Biden about climate change? Let's listen to our illustrious monarch, Joe Biden, what he has to say about climate change.
We know it's causing climate change, human activity. This is no longer subject to debate. And I might add, windmills do not cause cancer.
Joe Biden, trying to be funny. So, apparently, climate change, human-induced climate change, is no longer up for debate because Joe Biden said so. Well, there's a lot of numbers and a lot of facts that will disregard that statement because not everything, well, let's be honest, most everything that comes out of Joe Biden's mouth is a lie or a misstatement or just an unrefuted falsehood. The fact remains that the sun plays a huge part in the climate of this planet, on this planet. Man cannot control this planet. We may think, and again, this goes back to science, we may think we are almighty. We may think we are so intelligent. We may think that what we do controls everything on this planet. It doesn't. Yes, we can render species extinct. We can destroy and eliminate rainforests, which don't make any sense. But to be honest with you, our carbon footprint is no big deal. Any volcano that goes off is spewing out a bigger carbon footprint than we could ever begin to imagine that the human race does. Our climate is controlled by the sun. The magnetic poles that are shifting, if you've listened to this show for a while, you know I've talked at length about the magnetic poles shifting. The magnetic poles are moving about 30 miles a year south now. What that's doing is that is altering the jet stream. It's altering the way the weather patterns move. That's, in my opinion, that is why our weather is becoming so chaotic, is because we're getting ready to flip poles. Now, that may be a bad thing. I mean, you're going to have north and south on your compass go bad, and your GPS is going to be way off. That's, you know, that's an inconvenience, I guess. But the weather patterns are going to be ridiculous. Again, here in Michigan, hail. I mean, I can't tell you the last time I've seen hail, let alone every single week. There is just lines of storms, hails. What used to be called the weather phenomenon, formerly known as tornadoes. I mean, winds, tons of rain, you name it. And it's not just here in Michigan. It's everywhere. Again, look at Harvey Gott. Look at the people in Texas. Look at the wildfires. Look at how dry. Look at the Colorado River. People want to say that's man-made because we're using too much water out there and the weather's dry. Well, the weather's dry. You know, we've had rivers for a long, long time with human interaction right along them. They get replenished by the weather patterns. The weather patterns are changing. So you're seeing the sun right now. The sun was in what they call a solar minimum cycle. It's in about every 11 years. It goes through a minimum, then goes to a maximum cycle. The minimum cycle is when there's not a lot of sunspot activity, not a lot of solar flares and solar, you know, CMEs, the coronal mass ejections. You don't see a lot of those during a solar minimum. Essentially, the sun is hibernating. And then it starts to rev up its activity. More sunspots, more CMEs, more solar flares. Sunspots are going to generate, and solar flares and CMEs are going to generate heat sent to this planet. I've had people argue with me and tell me that the sun, being so far away, cannot send that much heat. Well, where do you think the heat's coming from? Yes, some of it's coming from the inner workings of our planet. Some of it's coming from the atmosphere. But how many times during a weather forecast when there's strong to severe tornadoes, the weather phenomenon formerly known as tornadoes, when you see strong tornadoes, strong thunderstorms, severe thunderstorms, how many times do you hear that weather broadcaster say, the atmosphere is heating up? What do you think is heating up the atmosphere? The sun. The sun is huge. I mean, we look at the sun in the sky, you know, it's about the size of maybe a dime, depending on where you are. It's huge. If we were to go next to it, I mean, look at, you've seen the pictures on Facebook with that gives a picture of the sun, and you see just a little pinhole, and it says, you are here, and compared to the sun. It's huge. It's a star, ladies and gentlemen. The sun is a star. All those bright objects you see in the sky, those are suns. Some of them are revolving, or have planets revolving around them. Some of them don't. But the sun right now is waking up. And it seems that this time, this wake up, it didn't get a good hibernation because it's getting pretty, it didn't wake up on the wrong side of the solar bed, I guess is the way to put it. The sun can send solar flares to the Earth. A solar flare is basically a coronal mass ejection of radiation coming at our planet. Now, the beautiful thing about our planet is the magnetic poles block the majority of this radiation. Well, here's the problem. The magnetic poles, as I said, are shifting. And as they're shifting, there's portions of it that are becoming weaker. It's generally weaker than it was 100 years ago. That is what happens when the poles begin to flip. They move and they weaken. And then there's a time when there is no poles. There's no atmosphere. There's no protection from this radiation. There's just nothing there. They flip and then, boom, they come back on. And it's all generated and controlled by the iron core and the molten lava, the liquid core, I should say, in the middle of our planet. Well, it's moving, and that is going to allow more radiation to come into the inner workings of the planet. Our electrical grid, our phone systems, our internet systems, anything electrical is very susceptible to these solar flares. Let me give you an example. September 1st and 2nd, 1859, during solar cycle 10, a solar coronal mass ejection, which again is a CME, hit Earth's magnetic sphere and induced the largest geomagnetic storm on record. The associated, what they call white light flare in the solar photosphere, was observed and recorded by British astronomers Richard Carrington and Richard Hodgson. This coronal event is now known as the Carrington event. Apparently Hodgson got the shaft on that one, but it's known as the Carrington event. It damaged telegraph lines all across the world. If that were to happen today, we would be talking damage in the trillions. We would have no phone, no lights, no motor cars, not a single luxury. Like Robinson Crusoe, we'd be as primitive as can be. It would destroy life as we know it. Economies around the world would just be destroyed. There would be mass social upheaval. We couldn't farm our fields the way we normally do. We couldn't get the product to the stores, grocery stores like these Walmarts and Meijer and Publix and all these major grocery store chains would be gone. You would have little pop-up mom and pop like you see on the side of the road vegetable stands. July 23rd, 2012, we came dangerously close to realizing that reality. A huge solar storm missed this planet by approximately 9 days. Now, I know that sounds 9 days. Come on, Tom. But when looking at it in the terms of space and time, that is like an inch. We dodged a bullet. In the way the sun is acting now, we may not dodge another bullet. The sun's activity right now is very, very active. It's very aggressive, for lack of a better term. Major sunspot activity, major solar flares. Have you noticed lately that we now get notifications of solar flare activity that may disrupt our satellites, may interrupt our cell phone service? You don't see that. I didn't see that 10, 15 years ago. So the sun is waking up, and it is becoming very active. That if you're a warm weather guy or girl, that's a good thing, because that means here in Michigan, we had a really good summer. I mean, it started fairly early, and it just continued. I mean, right now, what are we, September 17th today in Michigan? It was 87 degrees where I am. It was hot. It's going to drop down into the upper 70s tomorrow, go right back up into the 80s, and then drop like a rock. We're supposed to get more severe storms early next week. And it's just a continuing trend. It gets really, really hot. Boom. It cools down. Really, really hot. Boom. Cools down. The weather patterns are changing. And you're seeing the tornadic, formerly weather pattern known as tornadic, activity. It's kind of shifting away from Oklahoma and the plains and moving up into Illinois, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin area. Not that the Central Plains Tornado Alley still doesn't get its tornadoes, but you're seeing more and more activity farther north where we never really saw it. I mean, literally, you growing up, I've been in the same area for about 50 years, and I think I've probably, the first 47 years, probably had to worry about a tornado maybe 10 times. And now, we've had to deal with, not in my general vicinity, but around us, 4 times in the past 2 years. We've had tornadoes touch down, do a ton of damage, not even 5-6 miles south of us. So, the sun is changing our weather. You know, Joe Biden can sit there and say climate change is no longer up for debate. And he's right. The problem is he's claiming man is controlling and changing the climate. It's not. It's our magnetic poles, and it's also the sun. Okay, so to end the show, I want to play for you some audio from control towers, from mechanics, from witnesses that saw the UFO that was hovering over Gate 17 at O'Hare Airport in November of 2007. Now, this case was one that really grabbed my attention because a lot of people saw it. There were photos of it. And in the UFO community, it's pretty much considered a genuine unexplained UFO sighting. Now, the beginning of the audio you're going to hear is Sue from the United Ramp Tower calling Dave, who's the supervisor of the towers. And she asks him a question, and right up front, his fences go up. His defenses, his wall goes up, and it's a joke to him. And it goes from there. So listen to this. This is how Sue at United had her conversation with the ramp or the tower supervisor about the UFO that people all around Gate 17 were seeing hovering. Here's the beginning of the conversation.
Tower, this is Dave.
Hey, Dave, it's Sue from United Tower.
Hey, Sue.
Hey, did you see a flying disc out by C-17?
Oh, don't even start, Sue.
No,
you're seeing flying discs.
Well, that's what the pilot and the ramp guys are telling us. At C-17, they saw some flying disc above them. We can't see
Come on, Sue.
We can't see it, right?
Yeah, hey, you guys been celebrating the holidays or anything or what? You having a Christmas party today? I have not seen anything, Sue. And if I did, I wouldn't admit to it. No, I have not seen any flying disc at Gate C-7. Unless you got a new aircraft you're bringing out today that we don't know about.
No.
No, I have not seen anything, Sue.
So you can tell that Dave has no desire to even talk about this. And that is pretty much a general consensus. You get, especially at airports, you know, these tower guys, they don't want their names involved with this. Like he said, even if I did say it or see it, I wouldn't admit to it. So there's some mockery here. And again, this is 2007. Things were different then. I can honestly say that now. Things are different in 2021 as opposed to 2007. In 2021, there's a more open-mindedness about UFOs. I bet you if Sue made that call to Dave in 2021, the conversation would have been much different. So the conversation with Dave and Sue didn't end right there. It carried on for just a couple more seconds, and here's the end of that conversation.
No, I have not seen anything, so.
All right.
If I do, I don't know what I'll do. If I see it, I guess I'll back it up with you, but no, I'll keep an eye out.
All right, bye.
All right, then.
I love how at the end of that conversation, you hear Dave go, jeez, like, are you kidding me? But the conversation didn't end there because Sue called back, and Dave, I don't know if he was taking a bathroom break or what Dave was doing, but she got Dwight in the tower, and she proceeded to tell him that, yeah, I'm not joking. This is real. People saw it. Here's the continuing conversation with Sue and now Dwight.
I heard Tower Dwight.
Dwight?
Yes.
What happened to Dave? Did he have to take a break because I called him?
No.
This is Sue from United.
Yes.
There was a disc out there flying around.
There was a what?
A disc.
A disc? Can you hang on 1 second?
Sure, Dwight.
There is a 33-second pause now.
Okay, I'm sorry. What can I do for you now?
I told Dave there was a disc flying outside above Charlie 17, and he thought I was pretty much high. But I'm not high, and I'm not drinking.
Yeah.
Someone actually has a picture of it, so if you guys see it out there.
A disc? Like a frisbee?
Like a UFO type thing.
Yeah, okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
You have a picture of it.
How high above Charlie 17?
Well, it was above our tower. So if you happen to see it,
you know what? I'll keep a peeled eye for that.
All right.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Dwight wants nothing to do with this. Did you notice when she said, well, a UFO type thing? Yeah, okay, sure. Okay, I'll keep a peeled eye for that thing. He just wants nothing to do with it. That conversation at that point was over. And again, in 2007, you didn't talk about this. But she said, we have people that have pictures of this thing. I've seen the pictures. The pictures are phenomenal. Do yourself a favor and look up pictures of O'Hare UFO 2007. There's something there. It's not a balloon. It's not a drone. It's not an aircraft, like an airplane. It's unidentified. But yet, again, as I mentioned before, the conversation continued. Let's listen to how it continues.
Tower Cam, this is Dave.
Okay,
yeah, right.
I got an interesting one for you, David. Some of our employees, I don't know if you heard anything about this, some of our pilots on the ground were reporting a UFO sighting at 1,000 feet from the seaside of the airport. Did you guys hear anything about that?
You know what? The Raptor called me, I want to say about 10, 15 minutes ago. We have not seen anything up there.
Okay.
Because she said it was right around gate C-17.
Okay.
But, I mean, and since she called, I've been looking, but we have not seen anything.
Okay.
You know, I mean, if we do, well, I guess, you know.
Well, no, I'm just wondering. Maybe, yeah. maybe we'll have to give him C-7 right.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Either that or, you know, you guys unveiled a brand new aircraft that I didn't tell anybody about.
I know.
But, no, we have not seen anything, but we will surely keep an eye out, that's for sure.
Thank you very much.
No problems.
Bye.
I got to cue that.
So that was actually United Airlines calling Dave, who again is the FAA tower supervisor. And he's like, yeah, we got a call and I haven't seen anything. And I don't know what a 27 right is. If anybody's in the aircraft or works at an airport, what is a 27 right? Is it a denial? What is it? Somebody tell me that because I don't know. So we've had the ramp tower call twice. We've had United Airlines call the tower. Nobody has any confirmation of this. So everybody thinks this is just a misidentification, a bunch of drunk guys working or something. And then we get to this conversation. Listen to this.
Ground gateway 5668, send the penalty box ready to go to the north port.
I gateway 5668. You can use Alpha to Northport and use caution for the UFOs.
Alpha to Northport. We'll take a look. United Maintenance 44.
Okay, it's 44. Thank you.
All right.
44 is going around to Northport.
Excellent.
You got Eagle and Skywest over here coming around this way. He's turning in no factor. You really got no other gate holds.
All right.
Somebody reported a UFO or a flying disc above Charlie Concourse. Seriously.
Excellent.
Yeah. So nobody
I'll
can
keep my eyes open.
Nobody can see it, but use caution.
All right.
So, you've got the aircraft in the tower communicating with each other, saying, yeah, some people said there was a UFO. They're laughing about it. Nobody's seen anything. But then, listen to this mechanic who comes into the line and says this.
That's pretty much it. Gateway 5668.
Go ahead.
Yeah, look out your window. Do you see anything above United's concourse? They actually, believe it or not, they called us and said somebody observed a flying disc about 1,000 feet above the gate Charlie 17.
Here we go.
Not that I can tell.
Okay. Yeah, I thought my job was stressful.
we saw it a half hour ago.
Who saw it?
A whole bunch of us over at the Charlie concourse.
Really? You guys did? Who's this?
The United Taxi Mechanic. Thought it was a balloon, but we're not sure.
So as these guys are joking around about people seeing this UFO, we have a United Airlines taxi mechanic come in out of the blue and say, oh yeah, we saw it. A bunch of us guys saw it. Thought it was a balloon, but I'm not sure. And let me tell you, again, go online and look for UFO O'Hare Airport 2007. Look at the pictures and see for yourself, because these are not a balloon. There's no way this is a balloon. Looking at the picture and what witnesses described, the object was completely silent, 6 to 24 feet in diameter and dark gray in color. Now, several independent witnesses outside the airport also saw the object. As it stands, 12 United Airlines employees witnessed this object, as well as other independent witnesses not related to United Airlines. The FAA declined not to investigate the incident because the UFO was not seen on radar, and they went ahead and called it a weather phenomenon. So what is this sighting? What are the details regarding this sighting? Well, it happened November 7th, 2006 at approximately 4:15 Central Standard Time. Authorities received a report that a group of 12 airport employees were witnessing a metallic saucer-shaped craft hovering over gate C-17. The object was first spotted by a ramp employee who was pushing back United Airlines Flight 446, which was departing Chicago for Charlotte, North Carolina. The object was witnessed by pilots, airline management, and mechanics. Again, witnesses described the object as completely silent, 6 to 24 feet in diameter, and dark gray in color. Several independent witnesses outside of the airport also saw the object. One described a disc-shaped craft hovering over the airport, stating that it was obviously not clouds. Now, according to this witness, the object shot through the clouds at high velocity, leaving a clear blue hole in the cloud layer. According to the Chicago Tribune's John Hekovich, the disc was visible for approximately 5 minutes and was seen by close to a dozen United Airlines employees, ranging from pilots to supervisors, who heard chatter on the radio and raced out to view it. So obviously, prior to the conversations you have just heard, there was radio chatter about an unidentified flying object hovering over gate C-17 at Chicago O'Hare Airport. It was not clouds. It was not a balloon. None of those fly away at incredible speeds. What we have here is an unidentified flying object. Is it alien? Is it extraterrestrial? Is it extra-dimensional? Is it one of our military secrets? We don't know. But there is one thing that we do know. Something was hovering over gate C-17 November 7th, 2017, or 2007 at 4:15 Central Time, and we have no idea what it was. If you have any audio of police independent witnesses that have witnessed a UFO, send them to the show, because these are great shows to listen to. These are always some of the highest rated shows I have, because people love listening to people who are witnessing something they cannot explain. More people than you think believe UFOs are real. So that'll be the show today. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you liked a little bit of paranormal and, you know, kind of off the topic of politics a little bit near the end. I hope you enjoyed that. And I'm going to gradually trend that way. You know, politics are great, but especially lately, it's kind of depressing. So I hope you enjoyed the show. Contact me with any show ideas. All of you paranormal people who want to hear paranormal, contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Let me know what you want to hear. Jim, thanks for sending me the email. I hope everything goes all right for you at UPS. And for every one of my listeners who are having that issue, what do I do? I don't want the shot. What do I do? I don't have an answer for you. That is your decision. Let me know, any of you, any of my listeners having this issue, contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Let me know what you're going to do, or let me know if you have no idea what to do. Thanks for listening this week. Again, my name is Tom Velasquez. I will be back next week. You have been listening to the Paranormal Patriot.